The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Thank you for the kind words and the introduction. And Mr. Gary McCallahan, International President of the National Security and Law Society, and Mr. Brett Moss, the National President of National Security and Law Society, is it American chapter? Okay. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to first of all thank the National Security and Law Society for inviting me to this banquet of the eminent 2006 symposium. And it is an honor for me to be here among the gatherings of such distinguished experts and professionals. Indeed, there are many issues pertaining to Indonesia's national and international security environment that we can discuss at length nowadays. Please bear with me this evening in my quest to share with you my country's experiences in dealing with at least four issues that have profound impact to such an environment. First, the rise of democracy. And at the end of the Cold War, that spread to different parts of the world. Second is the financial and economic crisis that severely hit the Southeast Asian countries from 1997 until year 2000. And third is the questions of internal conflict and separatism that have broken and threatened the existence of many nations. And fourth is the pressing need to tackle the problems relating to international terrorism. We in Indonesia have to deal with these four issues simultaneously. Our efforts to establish democratic society, to cope with the economic hardship, and to deal with international conflicts, which at times threaten the unity and the unity of the country, are being waged at the same time as we fight against terrorism. As you are aware, in 1997, Indonesia was hit by severe financial and economic crisis that led to the downfall of former President Suharto, who had ruled Indonesia for more than 30 years. Since then, our country has been pursuing political reform and democratic transition. The problem was, as we pushed for reform, ethnic and separatist conflicts were rising in several provinces in Indonesia, such as in Aceh, Papua, Poso, and Maluku. The economic hardship in the conflicts hardened people's attitudes and behavior, creating intolerance and hatred. These, in our case, are favorable conditions for the rise of extremism and radicalism, which in turn become breeding ground for potential terrorists. Conflicts also produce extreme polarization that undermine the social fabrics of our society. For Indonesia, as a country of immense cultural, ethnic, and religious diversity, for a country which has some 230 million population with some 336 ethnic groups, resolutions of local conflicts and achieving harmony among our diverse ethnic and religious groups are matters of national survival. Resolving conflict as well as addressing terrorist threats, therefore, were top priorities for our government. But at the same time, it has to be done in a way that will not undermine our democratic transition. The government has to strike the balance between promoting and strengthening democratic institutions such as the promotion and protection of human rights, civil liberties, and the rule of law, and at the same time ensure that the security apparatus has the necessary political support and legal instruments to fight against insurgencies and cracking down on terrorist networks. Indeed, such a delicate and complex issue to be dealt with by all of us in Indonesia until today. Let me touch upon the issue of fighting against terrorism. My country, Indonesia, is in a front line States in the international effort to fight terrorism. As in the case of United States of America, we Indonesians are also victims of terror bombs attacks. Since 2001, we have suffered four major terrorist attacks. In the island of Bali, a major popular tourist destination, terrorists have struck twice in 2002 and 2005. The capital city of Jakarta has also been targeted several times, among others, one at the JW Marriott Hotel in 2003 and another at the Australian Embassy in 2004. These terrorist attacks took place in the midst of major transitional period in the political, social, and economic landscape of our country. We have made some significant gains in building a new Indonesia while dealing with these multiple problems and challenges. Let me give you a highlight of this new Indonesia. First, despite the natural catastrophe that has destroyed a large part of our country, of Aceh and Nias, various external shocks including the rise of world oil price and the threat of terrorism which have crippled our tourism industry, our economy continues to grow at a rate of 5.6 in 2005 and we expect a growth of 6.2% this year. Second, the democratic transition in Indonesia is progressing quite well. It is only a simple thing for us to imagine that in a country like United States, you hold election every 4 years and the turnout some 60% or 40-45% in such an established system. While in Indonesia, we only the first time when we held an election last 2004, and it turned out that there were some 78% participation, and that involved some 146 million people casted a vote to elect one president. So this, I think, an achievement that we are proud of, and we are now trying to build upon what we have achieved to instill democratic institutions to flourish the principle of democracy in the conduct of our statehood. Third, we also have seen major progress in addressing internal strifes and conflicts. In Aceh, as it was touched upon by my colleague who has spoken before me, peace has been restored since the Free Aceh Movement and the government of Indonesia has been able to sign peace agreement in Helsinki in August 2005. Situations in conflict-torn areas such as Maluku and Poso have improved significantly and sectarian conflicts have largely abated. Four, we have made significant gains in our fight against terrorism. Most of the belly bombers have been identified, arrested and tried. And I think we Indonesians are honored to have the judge who are prosecuting and who have been issued a verdict for the most dangerous people in Indonesia who carried the bombing in Bali. And I would like to ask my colleague Ibu Ifa
to stand up. Yes, the judge is who passed the verdict. I think she is no risking herself of being the target of terrorism in Indonesia, and she is briefly living in the Surabaya with her husband, and we all Indonesia are proud of her. The same is true for the Marriott and Australian Embassy bombers. Recently, we dealt a huge blow to the operational capability by the death of Dr. Asahari and some of his associates in East Java. We are still actively looking for the remaining terrorists, namely Nurdin Muhammad Tok, Dulmatin, and others. Our experience shows that international cooperation is essential in combating terrorism. In our effort to strengthen our institutional capacity, Indonesia has sought bilateral as well as multilateral cooperation with many friendly countries. In the year of 2002, Indonesia for the first time, jointly with Australia, has been able to hold a ministerial level Asia Pacific conference to discuss ways and means to combat terrorism, and it followed suit in 2003 conference of the same character that attended by some 26 ministers addressing the questions of money laundering and financing terrorism. We also have established the Jakarta Center for Law Enforcement Cooperation, GCLEC, an institution for training for a capacity building for countries in the region to have their apparatus who are in the front line to fight against terrorism to build their skill, to build their capacity to deal with questions of terrorism. It has been regarded as a prestigious regional training center for also for law enforcement officers focusing on counterterrorism. Indonesia has also benefited greatly from such cooperation, which was very crucial to our recent success in uprooting and crushing the terrorist network in our country. We also have the view that in the long run, the fight against terrorism is essentially a fight for the heart and mind. One way to win against radicalism mindset that has sprung terrorism, among other things, is to empower the moderate. For this end, the government may have facilitated dialogue across diverse groups of our society. Sustained dialogue may lead to the strengthening of the voice of moderation. In this regard, Indonesia has been actively sponsoring interfaith dialogue at regional as well as inter-regional levels to address different aspects related to moderation, tolerance, and harmony among followers of various faiths. We also attach great importance in education. Education, in our view, not only provides the means for upward socio-economic movements within our society, but it also serves as a major platform to instill tolerance and open-mindedness among our populations toward differences that exist in the society. We need to continue building and strengthening internal cooperation against terrorism. In this process, we will have to build a coalition not only among countries but also among various components of our society. And in the end, not only we will be successful in suppressing terrorism, we could also promote greater understanding and tolerance as human beings. All these developments which I described have created a relatively stable political environment at national level. We are all delighted to engage ourselves in a vibrant form of freedom of expression and civil liberties within the new democratic environment in Indonesia. Despite these successes, however, we continue to remain vigilant, particularly with regard to terrorist threats. We may have won some of the battles, but we have yet to win the war. Thank you very much.
If there are any questions anybody would like to ask, please feel free.
Welcome.
Okay, for now.
Oh. As Indonesia has such a close relationship with both Australia and the Muslim country, you obviously have a great deal of experience in dealing with the winning the hearts and minds issue. And I was wondering, what was your, if you had to give a piece of advice to, say, the Americans or anyone else for how to go about doing this, you know, what would you suggest?
Thank you. I think some of you were in front of television at least 2 weeks after 26 December 2004, or 3 days after the tsunami struck Aceh. Some of you also noticed that probably around 1,000 American Marines landed in Aceh. And there are people that came first to salvage, to help those who are suffering, even to pick up some dead bodies in collective terms. This, I think, not necessarily an example of what America should do to Indonesia, waiting for something like tsunami struck and to flock to Aceh to help. But the appearance of the American face in Indonesia with such an activity, with such a generous gesture, is somewhat highly appreciated by our people in Indonesia. You know what, to be very frank, just before that occasion, I can give you an illustration of what our people seen United States, seen America. I think this is wrong, but it's the reality. We in the Department of Foreign Affairs recruited a newly recruited diplomat, those who are fresh graduates from universities. There were some 7,600 applicants. Out of that, we picked up some 100 who successfully went through 5 consecutive tests. What we struck and astonished was that out of this 7,600, if I can say so very frank, there are around 70-60% when it comes into questions, answering the test questions about the international politics. Then they point out at what America has done to Iraq, with kind of unfriendly perception. But then when you come, you all come to Aceh with those 1,000 people, then people think, oh, something else, that not only you are bombing other countries, but you are helping people suffering. So, you know, to strike the balance between, you know, what you've done and being seen as whatever you name it, aggression or whatever, but then at the same time, this is something else. So if you ask me of what the Americans should do to not only to Indonesia, I think the friendly gesture to developing countries, reaching out and playing you call it public diplomacy, like what has just been said by Secretary Rice, transformational diplomacy, I think is a good policy. Shifting the image from being able to launch military attack to launch humanitarian assistance. I think this is an advice from humble friends of Americans.